Drink it. That's what it
is. Okay. Like, this is Parshas Vayetze. I'd like to share with you a very beautiful idea from Rav Shalom Shfadron Zatzal. Begins with the Pasuk, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yudalad. Vayelech Ruven, we make Tzir Chitim. Ruven goes out in the days of the wheat harvest, and he finds these Dudaim Basadeh, which are these, that's a fertility drug. Vayaveyosam Aleah, he mostly brings it to his mother Leah. Now Leah's already, keep in mind, has had a number of children already, four children. And here comes Reuben bringing her this, these dudaim, these mandrakes, they call them. Atomer Rachel Aleah Tnili Midudei Benech. So Rachel says, you know, can I please have some of these mandrakes? You know, they're a great fertility drug, and I don't have any children like you. And can I have them? So the response of Leah is fascinating. What does she say? Atomer La. So what? It's not enough that you took my husband and now you also want to take my flowers, my mandrakes from me? Now, why is this a fascinating statement? When you think of it, it's absurd. What is Leah saying over here? It makes no sense. Why? What? As we know from earlier on in the Sedra, what happened? Who was Yaakov supposed to marry? Supposed to marry Rachel. Okay? Why didn't he end up marrying Rachel at first? And he ended up marrying Leah? Because, as we know, right, the Gemara tells us that Yaakov was worried that his future father-in-law, Laban, was going to pull some fast move on him. And instead of giving him Rachel as a wife, he was going to give him Leah. So what did he do? The Gemara says he gave the simanim to Rachel, these certain signs between them. Okay, gave it to Rachel. So just in case Yaakov would, Laban would in fact make a switch, and he would end up, it was Leah that he gave him to under the chuppah, he would be able to, with the simanim, find that out, and then, you know, wouldn't end up marrying Leah. So what happens? Rachel, as we know, doesn't want to embarrass her sister, that this should happen to her, she should be caught, you know, not knowing the simanim. So what does she do? She gives the simanim to Leah, so that, in order not to embarrass her, so she shouldn't get embarrassed. So, Lamaisa, bottom line, what's pshat, comes out that if it wasn't for Rachel, right, that giving the simanim to Leah, Leah would have never married Yaakov. So it doesn't make any sense over here. How could Leah say to Rachel, what, it's not enough that you took my husband, now you want to take my flowers? What do you mean it's not enough you want to take it? She should have said back to her, I gave you your husband, right? If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have never married Yaakov. It's only because I told you to see Manim that you were able to marry Yaakov. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have married him. I took away your husband, I gave you your husband. Very strange statement. And the response, so you think, okay, fine, boy, is she going to get it now? You know, what is Rachel going to say? Oh, yeah, you expect her to say this to her. No, she says, V'tomer Rachel, l'chein yishkavi machalayla tachatu demenek. He goes, okay, fine, we'll make a deal. You're right, I shouldn't take away your husband. Okay, fine, here, you can take Yaakov tonight in exchange for the flowers. That's it. Instead of telling her a piece of musr, like, a chutzpah, I took away your husband. No, she says, fine, you're right, here, take the husband, I'll take the flowers. Very, very strange. In order to understand this, we'll go back a little bit in the parsha, as we mentioned, and find out the source of these simanim. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Beis, it says, in the schar of tznius, that Rachel had, she was Zocha, and out of her would come Shaul, who was also a very tsnua person. So, the question is asked, what's pshat? She was tsnius. So the Gemara says, what was the tsnius? As the Gemara, the tsnius of Rachel was, that as we mentioned, that she gave the simanim over to Leah. So the question is asked, what that tsnius? What's tsnius about that? Should have said in the schus that Rachel was such a good-hearted individual, right? And that's good that she gave the simanim over. That's why she was a zocha, etc., etc. Well, what does sneeze have to do with this? That's not the issue over here. It's having a good heart, it's being a tzedekis, it's being whatever you want. But there's nothing to do with tznius, and the source of tznius that she gave the simanim over to her sister, then that's why she was... There's no tznius here. So, Shalom wants to say the following. He says, Lachura, you have to ask yourself something. When Rachel, okay, had this plan between her and Yaakov, okay, that here I'm going to give you the simanim, okay, the signs that we're going to know, I'm going to know it's you, etc., in case your father wants to switch it on me, Leah. So Lachura, instead of Rachel having to tell Leah the signs, and then in the end, you know, she uses them and ends up the Leah married Yaakov instead of her, Lachura, couldn't she have done something much simpler? She could have just gone to her father and say, Dad, okay, love him, right? Dad, sorry, but the plan's not going to work, right? You wanted me to switch my sister, right? And Leah's going to be married, you know, go to the chuppah instead of me. I'm telling you right now, Dad, forget it. The plan's foiled. So they say, why? He says, well, because, I say, you know, Yaakov gave me this money. And Lamaisa, as soon as you give Leah over in the chuppah, he's going to ask her these questions, whatever. He's not going to know the simanim, and it's all over. So it's nothing, forget it. It's not going to happen. Don't bother putting Leah under the chuppah. That's it. Very simple. End of the whole sipur, end of the whole story. She doesn't have to give anything to Leah. Leah doesn't have to marry Yaakov instead of her. Nothing. Just go to Lavan and say, forget it, Dad. It's not going to work. He says, why didn't she say that? Ah, so there's the answer. The answer is because she was such a sneistic person, meaning she didn't want to tell her husband, her father, that she spoke to her chassan. That's not sneist. Speak to her chassan. Ah, you'll say, okay, well, so Lamaisha, she did speak to him. So speaking to her chassan, that's not a problem. That's not the lack of sneist. But telling her father, that is a lack of sneist. The answer is yeah, because obviously Rachel speaking to Yaakov, she had some sublime, you know, reasons for doing so. She had her reasons, but fine, so she had to. But to go and tell her father about it, that's not sneis to publicize it. Publicize that she spoke to her chassan, that she didn't want to do that. That's not sneis. So that's why she didn't tell her father. And that was a sneis that she was a zocha and to have Shaul. However, not finished yet, because Rav Shalom asked, wait a second, another suggestion she could have done. Okay, instead of fine, didn't want to go to her father, but she had another option. She could have gone to her sister. Rachel could have gone to Leah and say, Leah, go to our father and tell him you don't want to get married. Why? Because I have simanim. Yaakov gave me simanim. And therefore, you know, you're going to go to the chuppah. He's going to find out it's not you. So it's not going to happen. So you might as well just go to our father and tell him that, okay, you have a reason. You don't want to get married, this, that, whatever, and make up some story. But tell him it's not going to work, right? Because, you know, you'll say, well, that's not, again, the same story. She didn't want to tell somebody that she... But she anyways told Leah. What did she do in the end? She told Leah, I have simanim, here they are, gave them to her. So anyways, she told Leah that she spoke to Yaakov. So that she did anyways. So if she's anyways going to tell her sister that she spoke to Yaakov for whatever reason, so why did she give her the simanim? She could have just said, forget, it's not going to work because I have these simanim. Just go tell your father you don't want to get married, it's not going to happen, or whatever, and finished again. Ah, here comes the big kiddush. Explains Rav Shalom, what were these simanim? What are these simanim? What are the code words or whatever? So you know, the simanim were halachas. What did Yaakov do? He taught Rachel the halachas, the main three halachas for a woman, a Jewish woman. And what are they? Chala, Nida, and Neras, halachas and Neras. And I don't know if you're familiar in the Sephardi, more Taimani, there's when a girl gets engaged, they have like a party for like a shower or whatever for the girl, and they call it a chinna. They put their hand in this colorful stuff and they get a thing. Anyways, it's called a chinna, and it comes from this. Chet nun hei, chala, nira, and lakasanir. So what were the simanim? Yaakov said, look, I'm going to teach you these halachas, and then, you know, under the chuppah, or here, whenever, you know, I'm going to, you know, throw out and say, oh, what do you, you know, what's that shear of challah again? Or what is, I'm going to ask you a little bit, I'll give you a little test, a little, fahair on the, about these halachas. And I'll see if you know the answers. Okay, then I know it's you, because you got the right answer. If you don't know what I'm talking about, and I have no clue, then I know, it's not you, it's obviously Leah. That was the simani. So how does that help us? Memela, he says, Rachel, what does it mean he gave the simanim to Leah? He didn't say, okay, she didn't say, okay, Leah, here's the code words. No. What did she do? She didn't tell her about the simanim. She just taught her the halachas of chala, nida, and halachas and air. Says, oh, Leah, you know, I know our father's going to switch us, you know. So, you know what? You're a Jewish girl woman, has to know these things. So, you know what? I'm going to give you chala classes, and I'm going to, you know, prepare you for your new, your wedding now with Yaakov. And here's the halachas of chala, nida, halachas and air. Didn't tell her anything about any simanim. Just, oh, why not? Because of her tznias.
How was she supposed to know what to say when Yaakov asked for it?
No, no, the test. No, the simon. Where it has. Just going to say, hey, how much? What's a shear of challah? And she's, oh, shear of challah. I know it's 2.5 bags of flour.
Why
and
when he'll help. You think a simon should be like a real can crack? Halacha, she could have learned halacha style on her own.
No, the fact that Yaakov had to teach Rachel. The fact that Yaakov had to teach Rachel means she, Yaakov, Rachel didn't know them. Rachel didn't know them, so Leah wouldn't know them either. So now she had to teach him. So Mela, she taught Leah. Okay, she taught Leah the halachas, but she didn't tell anything about simani. She just said, you know, you're going to get married with Yaakov instead of me. Our father's switching us. So you know what? I'm going to get, you know, help you out over here in your new life as a Jewish woman. I'm going to teach you these halachas. Mela. So what happens if Yaakov tests her? She's going to know all the answers. But without reason, Leah never realized that she got simanim of any sort. Why didn't she tell her just straight out these are simanim? Because, as we said, because of her tznias. She was so tznias, she didn't want to tell her sister, you know, either about this, about the, speaking to her chassin. She didn't want to tell her sister that. So how could she give the simanim over to her sister without telling her sister that she spoke to Yaakov? By not mentioning anything, she said, you know, I happen to know these are halachas, and told her the halachas. She said, Rachel said, listen, Leah, I know our father's going to switch us, right? You're going to marry Yaakov, so I'm giving you some challah classes. You should know, you're going to be marrying Yaakov, you have to know about challah, nida. Right? She didn't know anything about any simanim. But she did that because she didn't want to tell her sister even that she spoke to her chassan Yaakov. But Mela, now we have the answer to our question. We said, what kind of a thing? Here comes with the flowers, right? And Rachel asked for the flowers, and Leah says, what? It's not enough you took my husband now, you want to take my flowers? So we asked, now how do you talk to her? She gave you your husband! Come on! She wasn't for you! You wouldn't have married Jack! She didn't know that! She didn't know that! There was no real steam money that said, look, I'm gonna give her, it's supposed to be me. She didn't know anything like that. She thought she was just, okay, she got married. She never even, you know, didn't realize it was because of Rachel that she was at Nemeri Yaakov, because if she never even knew about any simanim, she just learned these halakas, thinking, you know, just happened to learn these halakas from her sister, and happened to know answer that, but she didn't know there's anything going on like this simanim. But Mela, that's why she just accused her. What was Rachel's scar for all of this? As it says right after that, it says, V'yiskor Elokim, S Rachel. What did Hashem hear, Rachel? And ended up, she had a child. Finally had a child. Okay, v'yiftach es rachma. So Rashi says, what's pshat v'yizkor elokim? What did Hashem remember? So Rashi here says, Hashem remembered how she gave over the simanim to her sister. And notice also here and in the Gemara, it doesn't say she gave the simanim. It says masra. She was like, she was moser. She like gave over. Meaning, she gave over the halakas, like we said. Memela, we said, what did Hashem remember? So Rashi says, Hashem remembered the fact that she gave the simanim. So the question is, wait a second, when did she give the simanim? This was before they got married, before anybody got married, right? This was 7 years ago. It was 7 years ago when she gave the simanim. Only now Hashem says, I remember those simanim. Kol, that was great what you did, Rachel, and I'm going to give you a kid. Why did it take 7 years? The answer is 100%. It was a great thing that she was just for because of tznias what she did 100%. But here we have an additional thing. Here we have after Leah here accused her, you took my husband, And here she could have come back and said, okay, wait a minute, that's enough. I took your husband, now I'm going to lay the cards on the table. You should know. You remember when I gave you your color classes and I told you all about those demons? That wasn't stuff. That was because you're out. And she could have really told her after accusing her that she took away your husband and really she gave her husband. But no. She says, okay, fine, you're right. Dudaim here. I'll take Dudaim. You can have her. Yaakov doesn't mention anything. Hashem then v'yizkor lokim es rachel. Now Hashem says, oh, now I remember to see my name. The fact that you were tznius, you didn't, okay, that's one thing. But now that you could have, you know, used, told you off your sister, gave her a muster now after she's accusing you, and you're just, no, it's okay, fine, right? You didn't mention the simanim at all now? That deserves a child. That was a reward. So we see from here, a tremendous mida of Rachel, how she's, you know, Mivater isn't for a sister, please, you know, besides her tznius, and, you know, doesn't come back, doesn't answer up her sister, doesn't even mention it, etc. So let's share with you a story or so. This idea, once I read of Avreich, and the Bacher was getting married, and he was a top-notch Bacher. And that people were asking at the Sheva Brachas, asking the father of the boy, says, how did your son be? In what schus do you have a son like this? Tamam, in every area, in Midos, and in your Shemaim, and learning, and everything's top. Well, in what schus do you think? So he says, I think I know why. He says, goes back to his bar mitzvah. Back to his bar mitzvah. He says, yeah, about 7 years ago, he was, his bar mitzvah came out on a certain, you know, date. And Mamish, on the same day in that Shabbos was another bar mitzvah, another boy, right? Same birthday. So that same Shabbos is supposed to have this their bar mitzvahs in shul. And my son, you know, wanted to very much have it in the shul, and you know, that was our shul. And so the other boy then also did. So what do you do? So they decided to. I think the Rav mentioned that we'll make a lottery. We'll pick the thing. Whoever gets picked will be the one. It's the only fair way. Why should one get preference over the other? So they picked the lots, and sure enough, my son won. And so he had the rights to make the bar mitzvah in the shul. However, what happened? He felt bad for the boy. He felt bad for the other boy, that he realized he's a very sensitive individual, and to have to go have his bar mitzvah on the other side of town where nobody, you know, he doesn't know anybody in the minyan over there, and it would be rough on him. So, you know what my son did? He's mevater. He says, fine. He went up to the boy. He says, listen, I was thinking about it. You can have the bar mitzvah in the shul. Please. And the other boy had the bar mitzvah in the shul. My son had, we had the bar mitzvah in some other shul, which was not as comfortable. And he said, from that day on, it was uphill, right? It was only atzlacha for my son from that time on, and that he was mevater. So this was printed in some journal, I think in Harnof, and somebody read this, and they wrote back to the people that did the journal, and they said, you know, it's interesting, we read the story, and a very similar story we have ourselves. We also have a son who is very matzliach in all ways, and we also feel that his success is also connected to his bar mitzvah. So how so? Says, my son, again, back when he was a bar mitzvah, he was a very talented young man. He very good year musically. He learned the whole parsha, enough Torah and everything, and he knew it, you know, mamash, perfect lot, and all ready for his bar mitzvah. And the day comes, Shabbos comes, go to shul, they're all excited, and he gets up to the Sefer Torah, and all of a sudden, his voice goes totally hoarse. He's like laming, like, you know, that's not my son. And he's, very difficult way getting through the parsha. And the father didn't understand it. He says, I know my son. We left for shul this morning. His voice was perfectly fine. And he knew the parsha backwards and forwards. Well, he couldn't understand it. So, of course, afterwards, he approached his son privately. He says, listen, son, I know what's going on. I know you were fine this morning. What happened to your voice? All of a sudden, you got hoarse, and you went through the guy. I know you knew the parsha perfect. What? So the boy said to his father, listen, of course, my voice is fine, and I know the parsha inside out. So why did I do what I did? I did it on purpose. He says, because, I don't know if you remember, but last week one of my classmates had his bar mitzvah. And unfortunately he's not so musically inclined like I am. And he was not so, delaining, he didn't have such a nice voice, and he muddled through delaining, not so wonderfully. And also next week, another one of my classmates is getting bar mitzvah in this funeral again, and he's also not, I know, he's not going to do such a great job. So I felt bad. I didn't want to, show up my fellow classmates and, sing the parsha beautifully with the trump and go, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. I didn't want to make them feel upset. And therefore, I decided to put on this, voice and muddle through it so not to embarrass them and not to show them up, per se. So the father said, it's funny, therefore, you should mention it in this journal, because same thing happened. My son, from that day on, he said, only saw Tzlacha until his wedding day. It also reminded me of another story, a short one, end with this. There was once a Rav, some of the speakers were speaking in this certain event, and this one Rav gets called up, he goes up to the Bima, takes his pages out, from his coat and jacket, he puts it down on the shtender, and he's giving a shiur, very nice shiur. And when he finished his shiur, unfortunately, he forgot his papers on the shtender. And he leaves, and he walks down the bima, and he goes down. So afterwards, somebody went up to the bima and saw that the Rav left his pages up on the bima. So he quickly went up there, and he noticed he left the pages, but he looked, and they were totally blank. A few pages, every single one was totally blank. So what's going on? He wrote in invisible ink or something, and it makes sense. And I saw him the whole time, reading from his notes, and it's empty. So they approached the Rav. He said, "Oh, Rav, you left your papers here on the bima, but you don't see anything. What's John invisible ink?" So the Rav said, "No, there's nothing on these papers. So what you brought him up there? We saw you reading from. What's going on?" He said, "Listen, I don't know if you noticed, but the speaker before me, unfortunately, was not enough the gift of the speech so well much, and he was going through it, his speech, and looking down and reading his notes and." And I felt that I knew everything in my head. I was afraid I'm gonna, get up there and, give this great speech and, show up the guy that went before me, the rubber went before me, who had to read his notes. So therefore, in other words, you shouldn't feel bad. I pretended like I had notes and I just took out these pages and there's nothing written on there. To summarize, we learned two very important lessons from Rachel. Of course, a lesson of tznius, have to be sensitive and not to, to reveal things that shouldn't be revealed. Careful in that area. And also, as we said, that the greatness of Rachel, when she was sensitive to her sister, she didn't answer her back. She made her feel like, she had actually, Rachel taken her husband instead of vice versa. We have to be sensitive and mevater and give in to our fellow man. And as we saw, this tremendous, tremendous scar that Rachel had received. She finally had a child. So if we pay attention to these inyanim, to Hashem should mezakeh us also with tremendous amounts of scar in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and bring us the ultimate scar, Bekar B'Yameinu, the Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen.